Hey, greetings, everybody. This is Brother Tupos from DontParish.com, John 424 Radio. I hope you're having a great day. I want to come to you with a quick teaching topic, not so much scripture-based, but this is a kind of a testing. The Apostles' Creed Exposed is our topic today. The Apostles' Creed Exposed. I was on the phone the other day talking to some brothers, and we were talking about various topics, and the Apostles' Creed came up, and one of the brothers said, hey, it would be good if we had something on that. So I want to talk about it today and ask the question, is this a biblical, God-ordained document, or is it a man-made fraud? Well, we're going to get to that. I always encourage saints, brethren, and sisters to always test all things, 1 Thess 5, and to examine and test where things came from. What's their origin? Who ordained them? Who put them into motion? Who created them? We're going to find out about that on the Apostles' Creed. Have you ever pondered this? It's called the Apostles' Creed. Who do you think wrote it? Let's get there. So on this Apostles' Creed, what you'll find is that many Roman Catholic, Orthodox, Lutheran, even evangelicals will quote and hold to this creed as truth, as if it was inspired doctrine from God himself. But the question is it inspired by God himself? Is it even truth at all? Well, I'm here to tell you, the Apostles' Creed is a fraud, and it is not from God at all. Let me go through 5 points, then we're going to read the creed and go over it a little bit more. Here we go. 5 points why this creed is not of God. Number one, it's a man-made document. It didn't come from the apostles at all. Think of that. It's called the Apostles' Creed, but it was not written by the apostles at all. I'll tell you when it was written in a minute. Let me share something with you. When I first came out of the evangelical world many years ago when I was born again, I was livid, righteously angry when I learned that the Apostles' Creed had nothing to do with the apostles. It came along long after they were dead and gone. It was not Holy Spirit inspired. What a lie, isn't it? The Apostles' Creed has nothing to do with the apostles. Yeah, this reminds me of Revelation 22, 14 and 15, where it talks about those that love and practice a lie. The Apostles' Creed did not come from the apostles, thus it is a lie. Now, point number two, they say that it has like 12 main points to it, and the apostles, they say, the tradition says, the apostles each wrote one of them. Again, this is a lie. The document comes along a long time after the apostles. There's no evidence the apostles wrote each one of the points. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, we live by every word out of the mouth of God. And here we have people telling us to live after men's writings that are not part of the Holy Spirit inspired scriptures. Point number three, it comes about in the 3rd century, and it was mainly put together to help put down some heresies that were happening and to get everyone to agree on some basics of the Christian faith. So while it does have some truth in it, we'll get to that, it's not the truth inspired by God. It's a man-made document, all right? And it came along from the early church fathers in the 3rd century, as I said. This reminds me of Colossians 2:8, where Paul talks about don't be deceived and caught up in the traditions of men, the rudiments of the world, but focus on that which is in Christ, all right? And that which is in Christ alone via the word and the truth, not everyone else's man-made documents. Colossians 2:8 says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophies and vain deceit. It's not the apostles' doctrine. After the tradition of men, that's a tradition of man, the apostles' creed, the rudiments of the world, not after Christ. This document is not after Christ. It's a man-made document. I hope you're seeing my point here. Point number four, it is part of the blame as to why you have 30 or 40,000 different denominations today. Here's why. They put this document together and they tried to get everyone to agree in the Christian world on some basics so they could all still have unity together. And they came up with something, a major doctrine came up out of this, and it's called essentials versus non-essentials. Have you heard this? Yeah. So people will say, well, as long as we agree on the essentials, we're okay. And we'll talk about what those essentials are based upon the Apostles' Creed. But yet the Bible says that we're to live by every word out of the mouth of God, Jesus said, and we're to live on sound doctrine, and we're to walk in no sin and repent of all false ways, and we're to walk in spirit and truth. So this essentials, non-essential doctrine, I have an article on it at the teaching blog. This is a lie, because what is in God's New Testament word that's not essential for us? Think of that. What is not essential today? It's all essential. So this document has brought across many, many false ways, false denominations, false associations, and it is quite sinful. 1 Timothy 4:16 says, hold fast to sound doctrine by which you are saved and those who hear you. That's the truth of God's word. If you take the things that people say are non-essential, don't follow them, you're not following sound doctrine, are you? No. So the Apostle Creed is made the way for a lot of compromised Christianity that still goes on to this day. That goes on to my point number five. The creed is ecumenical. That means drawing a bunch of false faiths together, like Roman Catholics with Orthodox, Lutherans with Evangelical, Lutherans with Roman Catholics. Well, you know, we all have our little differences, but as long as we agree on the Apostles' Creed and some main things, then we're all still united. That's not what the Bible says at all. In 1 Corinthians 1:10, Paul says we all should be perfectly joined together, all speaking the same things and having the same judgment, being of one mind. How is that just agreeing on some points on a document that isn't even from the apostles versus agreeing on what the Holy Scriptures give us for doctrine? Jesus says in Matthew 28:20, teaching them to obey everything he's commanded, not just things that some men decide are essential. You see my point here. So the ecumenicalism has drawn all these false faiths together. Romans 16:17 says, mark those who cause division by leaving sound doctrine and avoid them. We're not supposed to unite with false religious systems because we agree on some Apostles' Creed. We're supposed to find out, do they teach all of God's word and oracles of truth? And if they compromise and they're in sin, we're to warn them, and if they won't repent, we're to separate from them. That's exactly what the Bible teaches. So let's get to this creed real quick, and we'll go over some points of it quickly. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. It's a man-made document. I'm just going to give you reasons why you should reject it. And anyone that clings to the Apostles' Creed should be rejected also for truth. They're not following spirit and truth. They're not following the word. They're not following the doctrines of God. They're following man-made traditions. Here we go. The Apostles' Creed. Believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Well, that sounds good at first blush, but John 1 says Christ is the creator of all things. So consider that. So that first point, consider that. John 1 says Christ is the creator. And it says, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord. All right, we agree with that. Who was conceived by the Holy Ghost. Got that. Born of the Virgin Mary, got that. Suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, and he, well, let's stop there, dead and buried. So it gives us the framework for the gospel that he was crucified, dead, and buried, okay? But it does leave out many aspects of the gospel that are required, and God's word teaches on them, and this loosely frames it. So it's kind of gives us a framework of the gospel, but not a completed gospel, so that's very questionable. The next verse, it says, he descended into hell. The Bible does not say this anywhere dogmatically. It talks about how he preached to those souls that were in captivity. Nobody knows for sure what that exactly means. We don't know if Jesus went to hell. That's a lie. So this could technically be the second lie on this document. Christ technically is the creator. John 1 says that. I know it gets to semantics, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they're all one. Who's the creator? I'm just telling you some points here about this document, Apostles' Creed. So it says he ascended into hell. The Bible doesn't teach that. So that's definitely a lie. It says on the third day he rose from the dead. Amen. We agree with that. He ascended into heaven. Yep. He sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. Yep. From thence he shall come to judge the quick. And I believe in the Holy Ghost. So all of these statements here are truthful statements. But the point is, they abrogate so much of God's word. They leave so much out. Remember, in the book of Deuteronomy and the book of Revelation 22, chapter 22, it says, don't add or take away from God's word. By coming up with these documents that say they're from the apostles when they're not, that's a lie. Saying Jesus went into hell when he didn't, that's a lie. Not giving the full, complete gospel, a gospel that's not full is not a truthful gospel. It could be considered a lie because you're not going to get to eternal life following an incomplete gospel. It's like following a map that's been ripped in half and you need the other half of the directions. You're not going to get there. It's not going to do it for you. And then it says, I believe in the Holy Ghost and the Holy Catholic Church. All right. So a lot of people don't know this. The word Catholic means universal. Has nothing to do with the Roman Catholic Church. That's the pagan Roman Catholic Pope system. Catholic means universal. So this could mean the universal body of Christ everywhere, which technically I'm Catholic. And if you're a true blood-bought saint following Christ biblically, you're Catholic. You're part of the universal body of Christ. But this can be confused because the Catholics use this creed for the Roman Catholic Church. So that's a little bit deceiving right there. It talks about the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So that's the Apostles' Creed. So again, like many false teachers, many false denominations, many of Satan's workers, it brings truth. It's got truth to it. But is it complete? No. Is it ordained of God? No. Is it enough for salvation? No. Can it deceive you and stumble you and cause you to be ecumenical with false people? Yes. Did God ordain that? No. And so we have to be very, very careful when we look at such of these documents of men. Like the Anabaptists hold to a lot of creeds of men and confessions. I have a question. If we believe Genesis to Revelation is the inspired holy word of God, what do we need confessions of men for? Why do you need to go on my website and read a confession of men? Why can't I just expound on the written word of God already and teach it in bits and pieces? Why do I need a confession? No one's been able to give me that answer. What it does is it leads you towards the traditions of men. It leads you towards man-made religion. It leads you towards incomplete truth. And I reject it. I stand against it. And I would warn you, like anything else made of man, God is not pleased. Jesus said in Matthew 15, 7 through 9, ye hypocrites, did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, these people draw nigh to me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. So if you are part of a religious system that holds to a apostles' creed that wasn't even written by the apostles, that isn't the full truth of God, that actually contains some faulty doctrine, that doesn't focus on the true biblical gospel, though it gives aspects of it, you're in grave danger. You're not in the truth. You're not testing all things. You're not walking in the Spirit. And my recommendation to you is to cling to the holy word of God. Repent and obey the gospel, Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, his shed blood. Repent and seek the kingdom of God to new life, being born from above. Holiness and obedience, which means come out of false man-made religion and all those false ways and traditions. The same people that believe in the Apostles' Creed are doing pagan Christmas, pagan Easter, lie-filled Good Friday, many other false ways in the evangelical, Roman Catholic, Orthodox, Lutheran world. Don't be part of them. You must repent and come out of them by his blood, through faith, new life, holiness and obedience, enduring in the faith. That's the path. And the scriptures give us the complete picture, not lieful things full of lies, not things full of lies, like the Apostles' Creed, just a man-made document. I hope that encourages you about the Apostles' Creed. Go to my website where I have lots of articles where I don't make up creeds. I just expound and teach what the Word of God says. And as 2 Timothy 2:15 says, I rightly divide it, cut it straight, so you can see the truth. The Holy Spirit will resound it inside of you, and then you can walk in God's Word and ways. That's my goal in life, is to help people walk in God's Word and ways, come out of all false ways to glorify God. Throw out the Apostles' Creed. Open your Bible. Repent and obey the gospel. Love you all. Till next time. Lord, bless me, come to you with more truth. May God be praised.